This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
And you're listening to Connecting Cultures Features on ORFM.
Kia ora everyone, welcome back to Connecting Cultures Features, a show by for and about the multicultural people of Dunedin and New Zealand. Today we have Kiho Lee in the studios from the Dunedin Korean Language Club. Kia ora Kiho, 안녕하세요.
안녕하세요.
Kiho, do you know that you were the first guest I had on Connecting Cultures Features when I started 4 years ago?
Yeah, I think it's 4 years ago already.
It was a live show. I was very nervous. Yeah. I had like my list of questions and everything. You made it so comfortable. So thank you very much.
Yeah. So I started my own radio show, K-Talk, 1 year ago. Mm. 1 year before you started.
Yeah.
So it is now, K-Talk is now 5 years old. Very interesting, not serious, but a part of life.
Mm.
So like a hobby.
Yeah,
I record podcasting.
Yes, and I think a lot of people who are podcasting or volunteering here at ORFM feel that way as well. It's a way for them to connect with the community in a fun way, you know? It's not serious.
It's not for profit, so that relieves a lot of pressure, so can make mistake and
No, I think that is very important. It's a way for people to just explore whatever topics they want without the expectation of being a professional, right?
But the workshop offered by Jeff last week was really useful, really worthwhile to attend, and then it made me think about a lot. Even though it is not professional, but still there are some important formats and the techniques we can apply and develop skills. Yeah, I think it was really, really informative.
I'm glad you found that. Just for context, Tago Access Radio, we had like a series of workshops for our broadcasters and podcasters so that they can improve on their interview skills, but also structure of their podcast.
And also the competition was over.
Yes. We're very excited about.
Is it November?
We're having an on-air awards, which we're very excited about. And I think some people have feeling really excited for that and just making changes to their shows so that it just reflects themselves a lot more.
So need to choose one episode and then present.
Are you planning your episode already?
Absolutely.
I'm so excited.
One of K-Talk episode. Make a great show and then let's see. Who knows?
It's very important.
I can be a champion.
Kiho, can you tell us about K-Talk and what you talk about on the podcast for those who might not be listening?
K-Talk is a show at OER. We mainly talking about Korean language and culture and music, and especially music is a big part. And I often talk about the lyrics of the Korean song because this show is for people who are interested in Korean language and culture. So we can enjoy Korean songs, Korean music and culture without fully understanding language, but if we can understand the language more, then we can digest more. So the show is quite well aligned with the goal, the purpose of the society, the club, language club. So the show was developed as a part of the program of the of our club, 2000.
Yeah. And I think what I really enjoy about K-Talk is every episode is very different. You know, you talk about, you know, what's trending at the moment, for example. You know, you had an episode about Squid Games. You had an episode about the K-pop demon hunters. And also, I think there was an episode about mindful K-pop listening. And I think that was more like health and psychological, and I think I really like that as well. It's so, like, there's a lot of different types of ways you explore your Korean culture.
Yeah, lately I talked with about it's a Mirotic or so as the song or song by the Dongbang Shingi. Because that song was released in two different versions, English and Korean.
Ah.
So I listened both songs and was surprised. So different, the feeling was. Yeah.
And that's why it's good to be bilingual.
The story is the same, and the music notes are same, but the language is different. And I found the impression and the feeling I developed inside while I was listening two different versions of music. Oh, how it can be so different.
So can you tell me the differences between the English version and
I
the Korean version?
I think it's I am biased because Korean is my mother tongue and the English is my second language. So, of course, I can more connected with mother language. Yeah. But still, English language gives more, how can I say? I think Korean language, for me, I can make a more deeper level of connection.
Mm.
Yeah. But with English, it's hard for me to make go beyond the language. You know, what? Sometimes when we talk language, we actually intend to say more than the verbal sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I found mother tongue,
it's just so
no
much
problem.
Easier.
But the learned language is very hard to go beyond. Unless I really focused and also try to understand, and then unless I raise questions, real to understand, to be able to understand what are the true meanings, the real meanings of your saying, your sound.
And I think I had this conversation with you when we were talking about Squid Game season one. Because when that blew up, a lot of people who are English speaking, they watch Squid Games in the English dub version. And it's just very different to watching the Korean version, but reading the subtitles, or even not reading the subtitles, understanding Korean, right? There's like three levels there of how the story is different, how you feel about the characters as well.
Lately in the club, we talked about K-pop Demon Hunters. That movie is the animation also can be watched in different languages. So you can watch in Korean and English subtitle, or English audio and Korean subtitle, or English subtitle. Quite different.
Very different.
So those differences, I think, never can be equalized. The difference between mother tongue, mother language, and then the second and third language, because the language is coming from the background, having culture as background.
Mm.
So we can understand the sound and sentences by studying grammar and the language structure. But understanding culture, unless we experience the culture from the time we are inside the mother's womb, it's very hard. So especially the first thing that I see the depths of culture is the taste. You know, each ethnic group has different traditional food. And then the taste of that food is very hard unless that person is a native, the who grew up in the country. It's very hard to discern which is the authentic taste of that food.
Yeah, surely.
Yeah. So kimchi jjigae and many Korean food, the taste I experienced in my family, in my home, the mother made, and the street food in Seoul, in the restaurant, and the Korean food I can experience here, its taste is different.
Mm. Is it because the ingredients are different, or do you think they toned it down so that it fits the, you know, Kiwi palate?
I think both. Yeah, yeah. Ingredients are different, and also each restaurant has different chef, and they have different ideas. Yeah. But knowing what is the real authentic taste I can experience in Seoul in restaurants in Seoul or street in Seoul, in Korea, and also the taste at home is important. Without knowing that authentic taste, we can be faked. That's, I think, the very tricky point of culture. And the language is coming from the cultural background. If we do not understand this very subtle difference of the cultural uniqueness, then it's very hard to understand the true meaning and very deep meaning of conversation. So that's why I always believe language and culture grow together, working together, influencing each other together. So without understanding language, they think no way to understand the culture. And also without understanding the cultural character, cultural nature at a very deep level, mastering language can't go deep. It can be grammatical level, can be very shallow level. That's what I learned over the last 6 years of experience at the club.
Yeah, and you've had those 6 years of experience to oversee all the different kinds of students that come along to your club as well. So who usually are your students? Are they just people who are interested in K-pop or K-drama? Or
mostly.
So that's how it started. Yeah,
mostly. Yeah, mostly K-pop and K-drama. And travel.
Travel to Korea.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. I have a plan to travel Korea this year. And they usually make some New Year resolution. I study Korean language 6 months or 1 year.
Yeah.
And then enjoy, make the time for travel, well, sometimes a couple of weeks, sometimes a month, or sometimes longer than that, more meaningful. Yeah. So it's more preparatory and some learn basic greetings and expressions.
Yeah.
But I found one student, some student have very, very serious interest in their self-development, and they are really dedicated and reliable. And I can see a few years of time, the speaking grows, improves a lot. But still, I also experienced the same. Even though I learned and studied English as second language, it's very hard to understand the jokes and, you know.
It takes a while. Yeah. I don't think I'll ever understand.
Something, you know, sometimes the expressions that only native speakers can understand, each language has that, the secrets.
Yeah. And I think it's important to sometimes just ask, like, oh, what do you mean by that, you know? Because, I work with, just New Zealanders, Kiwis here, right? And sometimes if there was an inside job, I was like, oh, what do you mean by that? Mm. And they have to understand that to teach me and make me learn as well. And some points you just don't understand. And I think that's okay because you know by yourself that you have another layer of identity in your own self that, you know, it's okay if you don't understand everything.
So interesting thing is before I moved to New Zealand, it's almost 20 years ago now. I thought English are all English. So American English.
So everything's
Australian and British and Canadians and South African and Kiwis, New Zealand, who speak English as first language. I thought all the same. But after I moved to New Zealand, English is different.
Very different. Mm-hmm.
Each country, people, accent is different and the way they express is different. And I found some Americans, even they visit New Zealand and then say, what do you mean that? So Kiwi's colloquial expressions and also Kiwi English is pretty much enriched with Maori words and expressions and Maori cultural context. So without understanding the influence of Maori culture, I struggled at the beginning. What that mean actually?
Especially when they use lots of different words in a sentence, right?
When I attended Marae for Maori functions and events, the way Maori people express their ideas in English, it's different. There was very big understanding.
Big revelation to you,
The English is spoken by very diverse ethnic groups, and each ethnic group has different way of expressing, and but still can communicate each other. So I think Korean language would become similar. So Korean people who are living in Korea speak Korean language, and also migrants and their descendants. Now they study Korean as a second language, or sometimes first language or second language, as descendants, as generations go over and over, even more diluted, and then more embedded with the cultural background of that country.
Their own speak, ones.
Well, in niche Korean language. So it's culture and language, I think, is ever-evolving subject, not just rocks, scripted in rock. But every day, the new expressions coming out, and then in 10 years or 30 years of time, actually, in Korea, lots of slangs and new expressions and the the teenagers and also the 20s, the young generations, they every day make new expressions.
New words,
In their texting and...
I think I learned a lot of that from like K-dramas, you know, sometimes they start like a word and that word becomes trending, for example.
So I think that's also an interesting point. A language is not static, but dynamically evolving a human function.
So knowing that language evolves and changes, how are you keeping up with that part of... your own language? How do you feel when you see like a new word pop up? Did you use that in conversations? Do you talk about that with other people, other Korean people?
In New Zealand, I'm not living in, if I live in Korea, then I may use more opportunity of using that expression. But here, I also speak Korean in a very limited time. So do not have much opportunity of actively using that new expressions. But I enjoy the reading and also drama or the YouTube videos, entertainments. I can see how people are using that expressions, new expressions.
And that's good that, you know, there is opportunities like that in the screen where even though you have limited use of your mother language, unfortunately, there are ways for you to still connect with your own culture as well.
I think that's the social media changed the lifestyle of everybody. So wherever we live, we can be connected through social media contents and also the messaging system, the networks. So nowadays, I think where we live is not much important. And how we live each day is more important. And generation also is not much important. Even younger generations can be isolated and feel lonely. It's not a matter of generation, but it's a matter of attitude. How I want to improve my quality of life, how I want to be connected with other people, because there are lots of freely available tools, clubs and social media and so all. So this radio show, radio station is a good platform of meeting new people and communicate with people who have similar interest.
So there is always that opportunity of finding new things that you can be involved in, right? So there's less, you just have to find ways to not isolate yourself.
So you know, human, I think we are born to be connected because I think this is my idea. Do you know who actually you are? So it's a big question. Actually, who I am? What I realize is who I am, the answer to who I am, this big question, never be able to gain through just meditation or self-reflection. We mirror each other. So by understanding the person I am, be connected, I can understand who actually I am through mirroring each other. So that's why I believe we are born to be connected. Without being connected, life can be just, can had quite, without consistency, without orientation, can be astray.
And I think it's also because people introduce themselves in relation to others. For example, oh, I'm a sister, I'm a daughter to, you know. So you do need to involve other people when you introduce yourself, because unfortunately we are not
and also, beings. So. Also, by being connected, we grow. We grow because that gives self-reflection. So through the connection, I can understand my strengths and my weakness and then improve. But without being connected, there is no that exchange, no reflection. Then the life can stop. That's
yeah, you've definitely made me think a lot more now in terms of who am I, right?
Yeah.
But Kiho, maybe I think this is a really good chance to talk about who you are in your history here. You say that you've been here for 20 years. How can you tell us on like your migrant story, how you came here, and also why you started the language class in the first place?
So I moved to New Zealand from I lived in Seoul, and then in 2005 I decided to explore the world outside of Korea, and then was very timely opportunity came up at the University of Otago. So I was offered a job at the university. So it was quite big decision for me and also my family. whole family moving out of Korea and then moved to a small town in New Zealand. It's a completely different lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, you're from Seoul, right?
Yeah. So every day, every night, every morning was quite... have you been in Seoul,
no,
Korea?
No, no.
Yeah. So what made me really surprised was from 6 o'clock almost, yeah, people begin to... So subway is the main transportation system. And then from 6 o'clock, even before that, people begin to move. And then at around 7 o'clock, people begin to run. Massive group of people need to now go to their work.
Because they're rushing.
Yeah, rushing, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, from almost 7 o'clock, yeah, people. It's every day that rushing is repeated. I thought it is too much, and I wanted to experience some different lifestyle.
What were you doing back then?
I was a research scientist at a biotech company, and then I got a job offer for research at the university. It was about the brain. So it was an exciting experience. But after working for 5 years at the university, I wanted to explore some different field. And then I left the academic industry and then begin to develop my own private practice. So that's, and then it now becoming 15 years. So this Korean Language Club, we started in 2019, so now 6 years. That's the, that's the moment that actually, my daughters, those they all left the home, and then my wife and I now was experiencing different phase of life. You know, after marriage and having children and support them to grow. And then at some stage, they all leave. And then and couple begin to experience different phase of life. And that time point was something that I began to feel that I need my own interest and passion. Now free from supporting children and more flexible and more time something that I thought something that I can enjoy.
Yeah.
I can develop my own interest. There was the language and culture, Korean language and culture, became my motivation at the time. And then year by year, I experienced more and then developed much deeper. Compared to when I started, I now have much better understanding of what actually I am doing.
And over the years, you meet different types of people, different students with different interests. So I'm sure that you've learned along the way on how to change the way you teach things and all of that too.
And also COVID.
COVID
was big.
What was it like during COVID? How was your classes then?
Just Zoom.
Zoom, yeah. Language culture classes, I can imagine.
So because could not meet, just for some season was very hard time. And I thought almost we are disappearing. But luckily survived.
A lot of people felt that way. Some people can survive that.
So COVID made big impact, and the impact on the way people make connection, I think, is completely changed.
How do you see people connecting now?
Now I think two different group of people. One group is still very much dependent on social media, the connection through the messaging and some very short way, social media-based connection. And the other connections is in person. So I think we need to be balanced, keeping both the social media-based connections and also in-person connections. So church or clubs and also many different format of in-person clubs are still meaningful and flourishing. So people want to meet.
I think after COVID, people really have this feeling of, you know, I never want to be in my room again. I don't want to be locked up again like that. So they want to make plans and have all these events with people or host people gatherings, you know. Because I think people need to celebrate that after COVID. It's just, it was a miserable time for a lot of people.
But I think after that now, people are becoming more balanced between this virtual connection and also the in-person connections. I think it's very important to keep both sides of connections, networks, in balanced. If we go too much to one side, then life can be limited.
It's good to hear your background on why you started the language culture class in the first place. it was a time where you had a change in your phase of life, right? When your children grew up and then you suddenly feel like, oh, you know, I think I've got a bit more time and I feel like I want to explore and contribute to community in a different way. So your association has been, well, your society has been the Dunedin Korean Language and Culture Society for a while, and now it's the Dunedin Korean Language Club. Can you tell me about the change and what inspired you to make that change?
So that this name change has some reason. So over the last 6 years, the experience made me think about what is language and what is culture and how language and culture are influencing each other. And then what's the true relationship and between language and culture? Still, I think language and culture are inseparable. So without language, there is no culture. And without culture, you can't have language. So it's a very interesting relationship, like a two sides of a coin. But in real world, community landscape, we need to survive. We need to prosper as a community group. Then I found we should have just very, very clear focus. We can't chase two rabbits at the same time. Language and culture is connected, but has completely different the aspect. So if we are focusing on language, then we can develop programs for much more focused on language study. If we are focused on culture, then we can develop different way of programs. So I found it's impossible to seek two different purposes at the same time. And it made me, you need to choose either language or culture. You need to choose one very clear goal and then focused and develop more creative and more meaningful programs, people can come and then enjoy and grow.
So the focus on language doesn't mean that the culture is separate. It means that while learning language, you actually learn a lot about the culture in itself.
Yes. So now the cultural side is a format or a medium of studying the language. It's only a tool. It's only a format. But the real focus is always improving the language skills from grade 1 to 3. You know, when we learn English, we have different levels, grades. And then begin to speak more freely. So language has more gradable. And then set the goal of improving from this stage to next stage and next level 3 and level 4. Yes. So I thought, and also focusing on language has more format, can develop more format. But culture is so diverse. So what should be our focus? can be sometimes, even the food cooking itself can be just one club. Korean food cooking can be. So I've, culture, setting culture as our focus would be too diverse. And people would feel very hard to develop the depths of their engagement. And language has a better advantage. We need to have develop some depths and the skills improving. I thought language is better choice.
So that's a very good change for a reason to change the name as well. It just reflects the club in a more holistic way as well. So you've definitely thought a lot about that. I wonder if you can tell us what kinds of workshops you've been having, because you said that, you know, food cooking can be a club itself because of how much it involves. I know that you've had a kimchi workshop, you know, hosted by a member. But can you tell us, what sorts of things do you do in your club when it comes to learning the aspects of Korean culture?
So I think food cooking is a big part. So sometimes a main dish, sometimes street food, tteokbokki, mandu. So food cooking, I think, is a big part of cultural activities and drama. Study about the script of the drama is also quite enjoyable.
What script are you studying right now? Which drama?
K-pop Demon Hunters.
Yes, of course.
That's the hottest topic.
Yeah.
Everybody talks. The last week we had workshop, language culture hybrid workshop, about with the Korean card game, and there was an interesting person from, she's a primary school student, and she was talking about K-pop Demon Hunters, and what she says was, at school, at her age level, students are talking a lot of Korean dramas and also K-pop musics. I was stunned with her sharing of her life at school. I didn't know that actually the primary school students are listening K-pop music so lot. I thought perhaps high school students.
Teenagers,
yeah,
right?
Teenagers alike. But actually, it has already been spread to the primary school students' level. It's a very early stage of life. They already embracing Korean music and drama in their life. In 30 years of time, they will become 40s and midlife, the mother and father. And then the landscape of Korean culture in New Zealand, I think, will be completely changed.
The spread will become a lot more faster when you start at a young age.
That's what I have. 6 years ago, the youngest age was university students in our club, and then gradually coming down to high school students and began to join and study. And then now, I think it is going further down to even to primary school students. They begin to develop interest in studying Korean language because the Korean pop and the movies and drama becoming part of their life. There is a true motivation of studying Korean language. That's actually what is happening in real world New Zealand community. I think it's not only in Dunedin, but I think it is happening in whole country. So Auckland and Christchurch, Wellington, I think it would be quite similar.
That's a very good observation. So you realize that now the younger generation, the young generations are absorbing more Korean language and culture at a really early age.
So, I think Netflix.
Netflix, definitely.
And Netflix, I think, and Spotify.
Yeah, TikTok, I think, as well. Yeah, I'm quite excited to see what comes out of that in the next few years. So what are you hopeful for, Kiho? What is it that you are looking forward to? You know, it's already August. There's a few months left to this year. You've just changed the name of your club. So what's next for you?
You mean next 6 months or 6 years?
Maybe let's do like till the end of this year. What are you excited for?
Along the change of the name from Dunedin Korean Language and Culture Society to Dunedin Korean Language Club, so we changed the format of our. We have been offering the weekly language class and monthly cultural workshops in separate, different days. But now it is merged. So all the language culture hybrid workshop, we meet only Tuesday now. And then trialing the language study through this hybrid workshop. And then USC at the end of, before Christmas, when we finish the second semester, we will tell, I can see whether this new format of studying a language, whether it is really work well, or what are the challenges and what are the difficulties. I think I in 4 months of time, I think I can get much another level of understanding on through these cultural hybrid workshops.
And it's good that you know you can change things and trial things as well. So that's good that you have that mindset.
I found as a community group, community itself evolves. So before COVID and after COVID, completely different. 6 years ago, now people's demand changed. And also the age group drops. And then I found people who just casually experience Korean cultural activity, they don't stay long in the club. But people who have genuine interest in language learning, they usually stay long. So that's one of the reasons why we decided to focus on language. And as the community itself, people's lifestyle and life focus also changes over 5 years and 10 years time, community group also need to be adapted, need to evolve alongside of people's change. Otherwise, can become behind and then no longer can satisfy people's demand and what people want. Then those group of community groups will become forgotten.
Yeah.
Because no more people can stay. For a few times, can just for fun, on how we can make people's expectation be satisfied in the long term. We also need to evolve community groups.
And that's very good advice for other community groups out there as well, or just anyone who is needing that inspiration to make changes in their life. So
Yeah. I think community groups need to be super creative to survive. Otherwise, it is very easy to start and learn for a short time, but without exercising great creativity and adaptability, I found it really challenging, hard to survive.
So for people who want to join your Dunedin Korean Language Club, how can they find you?
I think the best way is through the Facebook. At the moment, we still using the name of Korean Language and Culture Society, but the Facebook page will be updated to our new name, the Korean Language Club. But that's the main platform we communicate with people in community, and best way is to message us. That's the most of people come together through the Facebook. Yeah.
And when are your classes?
We now meet second Tuesday and fourth Tuesday of each month. So we meet from 6 to 8 p.m. Twice a month. At the community house.
Yeah. That's very good. Thank you so much, Gi-ho. I think this was a really good conversation to have, especially after the last time we were here. That was like my first time with Connecting Cultures Features. Yeah, I learned so much about how things have changed for your association, for your club, and that it is very important to be constantly evolving with the community. Because, yeah, we're always changing, and it's always important to see the changes so that, you know, you can always make your club fit the needs of the community. So thank you very much. 감사합니다.
Yeah, 감사합니다. Thank you for the invitation. And it was good to chat about what actually happening in my life and also in the club and also in community.
We'll see you again next time.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Connecting Cultures Features on RFM.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.